Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show presented by Paddy Power Fantasy. Good to have you with us, gang. It is our week 10 preview show. J-Bell in the house at ESPN HQ. We'll check in with him very, very shortly. Just enough time for me to let you guys know about a very special league this Sunday that Paddy Power Fantasy, our sponsors, have put together for you guys, the listeners of the show. It is free to enter. There is £1,000 prize pool up for grabs. Me and the OG are putting our teams together as well. So even if you don't get in the cash, you can certainly have the props of beating either or probably both of us with your daily fantasy team. Get involved with that. Head to fantasy.paddypower.com/league/Nat Coombs Show. fantasy.paddypower.com/league/Nat Coombs Show. That is a mouthful, so we pushed it out on all our social channels as well. Just head to @TheNC Show, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You will find links to it there. Very best of luck. And oh, before I forget, our daily fantasy show drops on Saturday, so listen to that, subscribe and download to get the extra edge. Right then, week 10, some cracking matchups this weekend. Let's get straight to it with the fantastic Jason Bell. Jason Bell, should I say rock star?
Wow,
Jason Bell.
Wow.
And what, I mean, after the game at Wembley on Sunday that we did for TV with OC and Mike Carson. Craziness, crazy scenes after that on the balcony.
Man, they love us. We're a good crew, right? We know how to go out there and present a good product, I think.
I enjoyed it. I love working with you, man. It just flew by, those two games. Flew by. Very different games, of course, but both equally compelling. We got lucky with Deshaun Watson because that was a blowout to all intents and purposes, but he kept it compelling, kept us focused, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, even if it's a blowout, if you see a Michael Jordan type of player out there making the highlight plays all the time, I mean, you're never bored. You're like, what's next? What's going to happen? And he did that for us, man. You and I were in a great seat in each game, so we were able to break down the games together and kind of go back and forth. So much fun.
I love that, man. So yeah, those of you familiar with the broadcast we do, J-Bell and I next to each other, we got the best seats in the house because we can pivot around and see, look through the glass and see the whole game. And I learned a lot from you, man. It's watching games, seeing stuff that I just hadn't clocked as quickly as you had. This is, I guess, the mindset and the skill you have from playing the game for so long. You can just pick stuff out at first sight.
It's a little bit easier for me because you're managing a lot more than I am. So you're trying to make sure we got a TV show, right? You're out there basically producing on the run. So, but
you love the open talk back, right?
Oh man. I was like, what is this going on? Get this out of my head. I was like, all these voices. I thought I only had two. No, but, it was just, I get to watch the game and at that angle, I'm looking at the storyline. I'm looking at, all right, we understand the matchups. Everybody talked about it, but those first 20 plays or so, you know, the first 2 minutes, you're going to see kind of what everybody's doing. And we were able to do that. And that's fun.
Loving that. Loving your work, man. And long may that continue. Also surprised you back in the ESPN house past security. I'm glad we stopped when we did with the Antonio Pierce stories last time.
I'm glad we stopped. We did too, because his wife called me. So she's my friend. She's like my sister. She's like, Jason, chill out. Chill out.
I knew she listened to the show.
Yeah, she's like, you know, he used to work for ESPN. So it's like, yeah, you got to be careful.
He's a company man. We got a lot to get into. We're going to preview all the week 10 matchups. Of course, we're going to talk MVP race as well and get your perspective on who you think the front runner is there. But I want to start with Thursday night football. And the Chargers going down to the Raiders. Are the LA Chargers done and dusted for the season? Is that it? Is that say goodnight, Gracie?
Man, I'm worried about them. They always find a way to lose tight games.
Yes, they do.
It's the history of the franchise, and I feel bad for them.
On that, because it's so true, it's spot on. How much of that is really in the players' heads? So as a player, I mean, they must be aware of remember the game a few weeks ago against Tennessee? I mean, even by Chargers standards, that was extraordinary. Do the players, does it really play on their minds? Surely they can just shut that out and say, well, not me, it doesn't affect me, or do they think there's something going on?
It does. It totally does. And I always think about when I was in college at UCLA, sitting next to a friend of mine who played in the league for a while, and we were behind, and our quarterback was a guy named Cade McNown, great quarterback, we had a great offense, and we had just given up a touchdown, and he goes, oh, don't worry, Cade will bring us back, and we did. And that was our mentality. I went 22 games in a row. It was like that. And I just remember taking that on to the NFL and knowing if you had faith that this is just what we do, that's who you were as a team. Do you think New England thinks when they have a tight game and Tom Brady has the ball left with 2 minutes, they're going to win? I think they do. So it is something, no matter how you try to shake it out, good or bad, because the flip side of that is if you're a team that has had success in the past and now your new players are in there and they think we've just inherited this greatness and they start losing because they think they're supposed to pull it out. Mm. So it works in both ways.
I love that. It reminds me as well, last time you were here, you are great in the mirror every morning. I'll tell you who is great though, Philip Rivers. One of the all-time greats. I don't think that's overstating it. I think he's not one of the all-time great quarterbacks. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but he's quite possibly not going to even play in a Super Bowl, let alone win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Is he, in your mind, certainly of his generation, the best player, the best quarterback never to play in a Super Bowl?
In his generation, I say yes. I mean, when I think of all time, we were discussing before, I think what everybody thinks, and that's Dan Marino. It's hard to shake that. But yeah, you know, you think of that draft class, right? And the quarterbacks that came out of there. Everybody's the three of one, right?
Yeah, right.
So yeah, it's just, what's funny about this whole thing, I look back and I look at it and I go, man, that whole trade for Eli and, you know, Phillip is arguably a better quarterback, but you look at it and you're just like, you know, New York's like, oh, glad we did that.
It
you know, regardless
out, yeah.
of
yeah,
what
yeah,
happens.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a really, really interesting point. If the cards have fallen differently and Rivers was the Giants quarterback of those teams, would they have won? We'll never know.
And personality has to be different in New York.
For sure. Big time. Oh, you've played there. Tell us what, I mean, we get it to an extent in London, of course, and in the UK, in big cities in the UK with Premier League players, but in the States and in New York, and I suppose Boston, but New York in particular, you're playing ball in New York. It's like nowhere else on earth, right?
I mean, the fans will boo you. The fans, when I was playing for the Giants, they booed us one time. I was like, I thought we were at home. You know, what's going on here? But yes, you know, it takes a personality like we both know OC very well. It takes that kind of guy. Your stars have to be those kind of people that are just people that slow down and think before they speak. You know, not saying he does all the time, but when it came to him
most
being a player,
time, he did then. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
On the Rivers question and looking at legacy, and Eli's a great parallel to draw, right? Because you're right. Most commentators would say he's not as good an all round quarterback as Philip Rivers, but he's got two rings. And the Marino, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, one of the most naturally gifted quarterbacks of all time, has no rings. How, and that obviously affects his legacy. It affects him when you hear him talk about it. It was something that will always be a shadow on his brilliant career. It's so important, isn't it, for a great player to achieve that, even though there are so many things outside of that player's control to achieve that.
Yeah, because it says a lot about the great player. It says, you know, great leaders and great players alike make everybody around them better because of the atmosphere they provide. It's something about greatness that people just get on that train. And so it says that, yeah, you were good, you were great, and you did everything you could as a player, but were you good enough to make other people great? If I was in that position, I would feel that kind of pressure too. You know, I can't sit here and say I understand it because I don't, but I can, if I was that kind of guy, a Philip Rivers kind of guy, it's like, I want to be so good that I just make everybody believe they're better.
And the longer it goes on, I guess, that pressure just accentuates in it and gets harder and harder, I guess. The longer he goes without winning the Super Bowl, without getting a team there, in individual moments, and even in games, let alone seasons, you're going to be thinking, it's going to be playing on his mind, I'm running out of time here.
You start pressing. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you're doing, when you start pressing, you start to go against things like your technique and just your fundamentals because you're trying to make things happen.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on to the MVP race, talking to great players, because there is, I think we've got a short list of, let's step back a second. The MVP race should be a wider pool of players in reality than it is, but quarterbacks 99% of the time, or certainly the majority of the time, win it.
Yeah.
Occasionally you get a running back. Adrian Peterson, the last non-quarterback to win it. Ooh. Defensive players rarely win it. So we are looking at a realistic shortlist of a couple of quarterbacks, but then you have Dalvin Cook, you have Christian McCaffrey, maybe others that you want to throw in the mix as well in the hunt. So first of all, who is the front runner for you right now in the MVP race?
Oh, I like this year, man. This is fun. This is interesting. Russell Wilson. He's the front runner, and I forget his touchdown to interception ratio. He's only throwing one pick, and I think it's 25 plus touchdowns or either 25.
Insane ratio.
Ridiculous. But what I really like about his game, Nat, is that in the fourth quarter, he creates in the pocket. He makes it happen. They're trying to be a power running team, and that's happening. But in the fourth quarter, when something has to happen, he puts the ball in his hands. Mm. He is like, I got to get this first down. I got to keep this drive going. That's MVP all day.
Yeah.
That is MVP. And the way he's executing with his receivers and his ball placement, unbelievable. Front runner right now, but it's close. It's tight.
Who is in the mix? So Aaron, and there is a lot of recency bias in the NFL, right? So we're off the back of an incredible performance from Russell Wilson at the time of recording this last week. So Wilson shoots up the rankings. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, and the Packers have, by their standards, an incredibly poor performance. His stock goes down the rankings. But Aaron Rodgers has to still be in the conversation as well, right?
He's not my number two.
He's not your number two.
No, he's not my number two. My number two is Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson. Now, is that a bit recency bias after what we saw at Wembley?
It is. But when I look at the MVP right now, I look at how important you are to your team.
Right.
Now, when it shakes out at the end, it's all about where you're placing that, right? I want to see where the team is.
And, yeah.
You know, what's the playoff implications looking like? But right now, think of how he wills his team to a win.
Such a good point. The situation, the impact that player has in terms of almost carrying a team, certainly being the difference for that team, has to be a fundamental consideration for MVP and Deshaun Watson all over.
That's the most valuable player for their team. We cannot rate them to other teams and what they do. And it's like, you're on your team. You've played your schedule. What is your importance to that team? Deshaun Watson, you remove him, they are a different team.
Do you think that's affected someone like Tom Brady in the past, who maybe hasn't won as many MVPs as you might think he would have done, compared to rings anyway? Do you think that's been worked against him, that very reason, that very rationale of how you qualify an MVP?
That's interesting. And that could be part of the issue. And I also just think that he's always been up there. But, you know, he's been consistently up there.
Yes.
Other people have popped.
Yeah.
They've had their years. They've had their moment. And it's hard to compete with that, especially when people are like, oh, it's always Tom Brady. This guy's hot this year. And they get behind that. So that's kind of hurt him a little bit.
Sure.
But he's always been great. He's always up there in the conversation. I don't think he is this year. But he, you know, the guy, he's the greatest of all time.
Do you think he cares? Do you think Brady cares that he hasn't won more MVPs?
Because when it's all said and done, I think he might.
Because he's that kind of player, isn't he? I mean, he's still annoyed about where he was drafted.
I think he might when it's all said and done, but, I mean, you can't argue with championships.
Right.
People would give those MVPs up for championships
every time.
All day.
Every time. Okay, so those are your top two, and top quarterbacks make sense.
Yeah.
What about
that's my top two.
Two heavyweight running backs in the mix, McCaffrey
Ooh,
and
how
Dalvin
did you
Cook.
Know? You know me so well.
Sneaking over those notes.
No. Christian McCaffrey's number three.
He's ahead of Dalvin Cook.
He's ahead of Dalvin Cook.
Is it for the same reason you just said with Deshaun Watson that he is the difference maker on that team?
Yes. I mean, Dalvin Cook is amazing. But the offense runs through Christian McCaffrey. He has the most yards from scrimmage. I mean, the way his volume of catches out of the backfield. Look it. I mean, Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator there, is known. If he has a nugget, if he has a toy, he is going to play with it. It is going down. And he is pushing the ball in this guy's hands. The volume of touches he has. I want to see if he can sustain this.
Yeah.
Because that is going to be phenomenal if he can. Because, I mean, look, the dude's buff and he looks great. But, my gosh, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, this is it with running backs. And the reason their stock has fallen a lot in the last – I mean, I think you've got to look at the last 10 years, right? I was looking at Sean Alexander as a pivotal point there, right? Who was an MVP, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And then within 2 years was out of the league. So – career-defining season, got paid, out of the league in 2 years. And it was significantly wear and tear. And as a result, I think that changed. Not this isn't the only reason, but the perspective towards running backs changed. The way offenses have changed as well have diminished their value? Are we seeing a bit of a resurgence? Are we seeing the impact that McCaffrey and Cook are having in the league? You've got Saquon, you've got Zeke as well. Do you think that there is a bit of a resurgence in the importance of running backs once again compared to what's been happening over the last 4 or 5 years?
I think there's always been a high level of respect on each team about the importance of the position and the guy you have. I think it's a smart business play. Like, if you devalue it as an organization or as a league and we say, hey, we're not really, you know, this isn't really happening for you guys this year. I mean, if I'm an owner, that makes sense to me too.
Sure.
But they always, if you had one, they always valued you. And if they didn't, they knew they had to get one.
Yeah.
It's just the marketplace. I mean, you saw it happen with safeties a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
where all of a sudden the safety position was no longer valued until these defenses had to start adjusting the way they do. And you realize your safeties are the windows to your defense. You have to have flexibility. Mm-hmm. They got to cover. They got to do this. And what happened? They went and paid safeties.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes through its cycles. A couple of positions won't ever touch that, you know, quarterbacks, corners, defensive ends, because mm-hmm. you can't protect them. But everybody else goes through its cycles.
Mm, really interesting. So who's your money on then? Do you think, it based on the odds that we said and the history and the statistics, it's probably going to be a quarterback? It is.
You know who my dark horse is?
Tell me who's your dark horse. Who are we not talking about?
Lamar Jackson. He's my dark horse. I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why.
If they just beat the best defense in football.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Easily.
Okay, right? Okay. Now we're talking. This whole offense is Lamar Jackson. I mean, so when you look at Lamar, he beats the best defense in football.
Easily,
man. And it was all because of his skill set and his threat. The offensive line is physical. Mm. I mean, I've never seen New England get pushed around like that. But back to my point, if they play well, especially the way they're doing offensively, this guy becomes the all-time rushing leader at the quarterback position. People like him, Matt. They like the kid. Don't you think it might be this late push?
Oh, you often see it, right? I mean, you see it teams, you know, collectively come out of a 500, just under 500, put a surge on. They're suddenly, well, look at the 2007 New York Giants, right?
Bam.
There you go. So I like that idea.
That's my dark horse, man.
And I think it's spot on in terms of credentials, in terms of qualification. He is, do you rightly say, J-Bell, driving that offense single-handedly would be disrespectful to the rest of the offense, mm-hmm. but he is by far the most significant piece of that offense.
Listen, when they had him bottled up the other night, his footwork in the pocket and the way he got out there and got a first down, New England couldn't have did anything else. And that's what an MVP does.
Against, as you say, the best defense in football.
Best.
All right. We will see. Loving that sneaky pick at the end.
Yeah.
Sneaking in the back door. Let's get into our Week 10 picks. So you know what? Let's just finalize that Thursday night football for a second, because we didn't really talk about the Raiders much.
Yeah,
5-4 now. The Raiders are in the playoff hunt, aren't they?
Josh Jacobs, man.
Wow.
Josh Jacobs is, and he listened to me clearly. I'm not saying he's the best running back, but his skill set makes him a top five running back in the league.
Right, straight away. Rookie season straight away right now.
He hasn't checked all the boxes. I still got to understand the kid's durability.
Mm.
One thing that made Emmitt Smith so special is his durability.
Right.
Right. This is why he is the all-time rushing leader. It's important at the position. Does he fade at the end of the year? I can't answer that yet.
Yep.
But as far as what his skill set is and what they've seen out of him, it makes sense, and he's got it, man. He's closing out games. We talked about with this when we watched the game. We said good games. Good teams are closers.
Yep.
And what happened when they needed to close it out? They gave it to him.
Him to get the job done. It's a really exciting young offense they're building as well. I mean, look at what John Gruden has done. 12 months ago, he was the laughing stock of the NFL. Now he's, I mean, if he gets them to the playoffs this year, is he coach of the year?
Oh gosh, I like John Gruden so much that I don't want to just jump on his bandwagon more than I already am, because when he was here, the way him and OC kind of vibed and had a conversation, you could see like, yo, I'm with this guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm hearing you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he went in, and the thing him and Mike Mayock, the GM, they
love Mayock as well.
Yeah. It was all about culture. It was all about identifying the players to pick that love ball, love the game. And because if your stars love ball and love the game, everybody else falls in line. You cannot argue.
Yeah.
With that, even the safety that got hurt, you could tell when you watch Hard Knocks, his love for the game was so apparent. and that's what they are basing the future on. Man, they got a good formula.
Yeah, they're missing that first round. It's a really good point. When he looks like he's a serious player.
He's trying to thump people.
No nonsense. He is no nonsense. The one thing I loved about Mayock as well, and like, maybe you and I, I've got a feeling you and I have mentioned this before, but hey, who cares? When the Antonio Brown stuff kicked off, and he was no nonsense. Like when he was talking to the press about it, just, remember he wasn't turning up for training and you just thought, this was a Raiders that we thought was going to go 3-13. Yeah. Antonio Brown was everything to them. They've withstood that and they are in the playoff conversation. I think,
Gruden. It worked out with him. I think if he was in the locker room, they and a guy like Josh Jacobs and even maybe Derek Carr, like the good guys' personalities are flourishing.
Yes.
And it's them. So this is good for them.
This
is really good.
I reckon Gruden, sneaky coach of the year pick.
It could happen, man. They continue on this path.
Yeah. If they make the playoffs.
He's doing without a defense. His defense is terrible. Right. Let's just be honest. So.
Yeah. They took care of business against the Chargers. They moved to 5-4. A lot of cracking matchups in the NFL this weekend. We've got to start with the big game Sunday night football as the Vikings head to Dallas. The Vikings now 6-3, but after that heartbreaker against the Chiefs last week. Of course, Patrick Mahomes, less Chiefs. Matt Moore getting it done for Kansas City. And once again, Kirk Cousins in the firing line. And that's what everybody's saying going into this game. Guess what, J-Bell? It's prime time. It's in Arlington. Kirk Cousins is going to bottle it again. What do you think?
Okay, so I'm going to start off. I'm going to be flat out honest. I want the Vikings to win because of my friends, not because of my football analysis.
That should be
skills.
That is the right way.
Let's start there. And now I will break down what I think is going to happen because I want the Vikings to win. But to your point, Kirk Cousins, the big knock. Can he close out big games against big opponents against another quarterback who is a big time player right now? Always his problem. And he's going against this top defense. I think they're number six and they're good versus the pass. And one thing I really look at what Dallas does good is they're one of the best on third downs. Mm. That's important to me as a defender. That means that you are putting yourself in position on first and second down, get off the field.
Yeah.
And that's when Kirk Cousins, if the running game is not clicking or you're in third and short or whatever, you gotta come through. Mm. Big primetime games and that don't work out for him historically. Mm. It's still going to be tight. I mean, definitely less than 7 points. It's going to be very, very tight. But that is the matchup that I really, truly want to see. On the flip side, if it's anything that concerns me with the Vikings, I feel like their corners aren't covering well. Mm. And they are known to have, and the few in the past, they've been pretty good out there, right? You got two first rounders as your corners, you know, and a second rounder as your nickel.
Yeah.
But I think they just they're not playing really well this year. That concerns me. And it seems like those defensive ends, they fly off the ball, they get tired late in the game. So that's going to be hard against this Dallas team that's going to try to be physical with you.
Looks like Amari Cooper's going to play. He was banged up, but has been participating in training. So they think he will be good to go. Sean Lee and Van Der Esch as well took knocks in the game last week, but they're expected to start. That's obviously going to be fundamental in terms of what Dalvin Cook can get going. Adam Thielen, on the other hand, with
that's
his hamstring,
problem.
Might well not start. If he does, it's a hamstring, so that could go off at any
man,
point.
Come on, as a fast guy, that throws you off, and you know they can double team Diggs, or they can make it hard on him.
Knock on effect.
That's the problem with Kirk Cousins. He needs the strength is having those two dudes that can beat coverage, and this is going to be tight. If they can pull this off, it is big because Dallas is kind of set up for the win on this.
And you got Philly as well snapping at Dallas's heels a little bit in the East now. Back to back.
That's why they can't back up now.
They can't afford
they
it.
Can't
they
do
can't
that.
Afford it. I'm going Dallas for the win. I think
because you're smart.
Thank you, buddy. I'm not sure that. I mean, I think there will be points in the ball, but I think Dallas might win it comfortably. I mean, I think Thielen's going to be the key there. If he doesn't go, or if he clearly isn't himself, I think Dallas win it by a touchdown. But if not, maybe tighter.
This team is they're both very well matched, but Dallas does have the edge a little bit.
Okay, we're both picking Dallas, though.
I'm going with the Vikings.
For your friends.
For my friends. Okay. For my friends.
But your football analysis, we can read between the lines.
Yeah.
We can read between the lines. Where should we go next? How about we look at let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's go back to the AFC West. In Tennessee, of course, the Titans losing last week to the Panthers, suddenly falling out of that scrap in the AFC South. They dropped to and five now. So they're kind of getting in must win territory. They're quite banged up as well. Delanie Walker, mm-hmm. Corey Davis, question marks. Jarrell Casey, hell of a player.
I love him.
What
he
a player.
He went to my high school. He's a monster. Long Beach Poly High School. Yes.
He is a serious player. They all miss practice on a Wednesday, so keep an eye on them when you're looking at this one. On a positive side, mm-hmm. for starting with the Titans first, why not start with them as opposed to the Chiefs? Ryan Tannehill coming in to this offense has clearly improved it. He's won two of the three games. Their rushing game with Derrick Henry is kind of middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. When you consider what a player he should be, that's a little bit disappointing. The line hasn't been protecting either Mariota or Tannehill for that matter. And conversely, Kansas City's been getting in the mix with sacks over the last few weeks as well. So that could be a key matchup. But the Titans, if we're talking about the Cowboys needing to get on with it as the Eagles are closing in, the Titans are in must-win territory now. So how much bearing do you think that has on this game?
Yeah, this needs to happen. And this is really difficult for them, because I would have said before Chris Jones got back, mm-hmm. and before, I think, the last four games, this Kansas City defense has just stepped up. You know, Steve Spagnuolo, Spags, who coached me and OC were talking about this. The year they won the Super Bowl and I was on injured reserve, I think the first four games, it was just, I mean, they lost. It wasn't good. It wasn't good football. And it clicked, right? His philosophy, he understood his players, and he got them in the best position for their skill set. You can see that happening. You can see that happening.
What kind of character is Spags?
You know, Spags, to me, he was a guy you wanted to play for. It's funny talking about Antonio Pierce. Him and AP are just so close.
Right.
And it was because he's a guy who can identify quickly who the leaders are. I always respect those coaches that they don't take what the head man says or the institution says. They look at the players and they go, oh, that's the guy, that's the guy, that's the guy. Spags is like that. He was a great teacher. He really focused on the defensive backs a lot, I remember, because when he was in Philly, he coached them. And
but that's the path he came through then as a defensive backs coach.
Yes, he was, and Brian Dawkins was his guy. Yeah, we watched was highlights of Brian Dawkins. And we looked at it, we were like, oh, we need to pick up how we play, because this guy's a beast. But yeah, he's a great
That is unfair.
Coach.
That is like showing a young actor, Jack Nicholson, listen, be like this.
I'm a safety and you're showing me Brian Dawkins. His arm is as big as my head. I'm like, coach, you're not getting that out of me. This is not going to happen. Not going to happen, Spags. But yeah, I mean, you see what he's doing now, right? He gets Chris Jones back, and the way he's even moved and shifted his defensive line around, he's got the big guys in the middle literally clogging the run, because that was their issue. They could not stop the run.
Right.
And that's why this would have been an advantage for the Titans, but because of the way they've shifted and now playing better against the run, they're going to be dangerous. They are getting better on that side of the ball.
Patrick Mahomes is almost certainly going to start. I mean, looking at how he was at the end of the game last week, just piling on the field, and he looked pretty fit to me there.
Oh my gosh.
So we expect him to start, and of course that, respect to Matt Moore and demonstrated why he's one of the better backups in the NFL, but he's night and day with these two in. So clearly that is going to give the offense a strong edge against a Titans team that isn't really living up to the levels we expected when you got Mike Vrabel coaching them, and how they played last season. Then they're underperforming, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really not what I thought they were going to be. I like how they get off the field on third down. That's good, but they give up a lot of yards other places. They're not a bottom in the half type of defense, but you expect them to be top 10.
You do, and I think that the team's built that way, isn't it? We're going to grind you down. We're going to hold you to 17, to 14, to 20.
Yes.
And we're going to do just enough to beat you that way.
Yes.
At the moment, that isn't...
They still got fighting them, but yeah, they're definitely... They should be dominating more than that. But I think KC needs to do what they did with Matt Moore with Patrick Mahomes in there. Max protect. Mm-hmm. Let him run these two-man routes deep. Mm-hmm. That's something they haven't done with him because he's so special. Get everybody out and let him do his thing.
Yeah.
But protect him, man. Literally make him feel like he's got a wall around him while he's getting better.
Really, really interesting point you make, because they simplified things because it was Matt Moore, just like Sean Payton did with Teddy. And
exactly.
And
Pat Mahomes, like, give me some of that stuff.
So you pick.
Oh, Kansas City.
Oh. Yes. I'm with you. So we both agree with each other. I'm picking the Chiefs as well. Oh, let's next go to the Falcons Saints. The Falcons done and dusted. Of course, 1-7 on the season. Matt Ryan could be back. That ankle injury, of course, the first time he's been missing games for a long time. Nevertheless, Julio still going strong despite their inconsistency. He's up to, what, 714 yards now. So he's on pace for another monster season despite the challenges they've had. No Mo Sanu anymore. Of course, he's been shipped off to the Patriots. They got nothing to play for. It's in New Orleans. Is this a blowout, J-Bell?
No. These two teams hate each other. And when when that happens, this is really important analysis, by the way.
I love
it. Because when you think about it, when you really don't like another team, like, I don't care what's going on. You just want to destroy them.
Yes.
You want them to lose more than anything. And these two teams have that kind of rivalry.
They got history.
So it's going, nobody's laying down.
We saw that, of course, at Wembley. You were pointing that out between the Texans and the Jags. That's when they're going at it.
They almost fought at the end of the game.
The end of the game.
The people are like, go to the locker room.
Side on to
I told you, these dudes had to be separated. They truly don't like each other. These two teams feel the same way. And to your point, Julio Jones is, he's the best receiver in football.
Yeah.
But this dude on the other side. Michael Thomas.
Wow.
Michael Thomas.
What a player.
What? He's a matchup nightmare. He's in the slot. He's more physical than if you put a little guy on him. He's faster and quicker than if you put a bigger guy on him.
Yeah.
He's like how Gronk is used, you know?
Yeah, he's used.
And he's fun to watch. He's great.
Lethal. And a lethal defense as well, the Saints, of course. They, I mean, look at some of the stats. They, standing by, the stats here, I think, tell you everything you need to know. The defense has allowed 10 or fewer points in 3 of their last 5 games. Mm. Fewer than 300 total yards in 5 straight games. This is a complete team, isn't it? We know that.
Cam Jordan is the man. They stopped the run. Let me tell you something. Marshawn Lattimore, if this team goes where I think they will in the playoffs, we'll be talking about him as one of the top defensive players in football.
Yeah.
That Marshawn Lattimore, you gotta have a dog at corner, a guy that just, it doesn't matter who he's playing against, he's gonna step it up and make it happen. I like what he's doing. I like the defensive back is all but focused on him.
We gotta do that. Next time you're in the house, we gotta do a top 5, J-Bell top 5 corners in the NFL right now. I like that as a top 5.
I like that.
So this is Saints all the way, right?
Yeah, it's easy. It's an easy call. But it's gonna be fun because, like I said, somebody might get in a fight.
We love to see it. Rams Steelers, not so straightforward, right? So of course the Rams coming off the bye, the Steelers coming off that win against the Colts, asterisks against that, of course, because Jacoby Brissett went out and Brian Hoyer came in, which he did fine again, another veteran backup quarterback.
Jacoby Brissett's the man.
Exactly.
He's the man, not even close.
No Brandon Cooks. He's out. Of course, the concussion that during the game we did a couple of weeks back. So no Cooks for them. So affected there, but Cooper Kupp, as we saw at Wembley a couple of weeks back, going big. So expect Jared Goff to go to him once again. Still issues and concerns about their running game across the Rams.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's not their identity anymore, and that's the problem. I mean, everything's set off that play-action pass in the years past. That's where they had their success. They made things blurry for the defense. You know, that's what the play-action pass does. You know, get your linebackers to come up, your safeties to come up. They just don't have that. Mm. I want some miracle thing to happen with Todd Gurley where it's like, oh, my gosh, he's just been relaxing. but, you know, it's not happening. Now, their interior offensive line has been an issue. And remember years ago when Todd Gurley, we were saying the same thing before Jeff Fisher got fired?
Right.
And they improved the O-line, and all of a sudden, he's back.
Yep.
There could be a little bit of that.
Yep.
There could be a little bit of that. They're fixing that.
Because they tinkered that a lot. I mean, we were talking about that with the Bengals matchup, that everyone was emphasizing the change on the Bengals offensive line contributing to why their season has been so bad. But the Rams mixed and matched, of course, in the offseason, and it's costing them at the moment.
Yeah. Everybody that's listening needs to understand, it's not about individual players on offensive line. I got to get a tackle. I got a good center or guard. It's about them playing as a unit. That takes time. They got to understand each other. And the unit is what makes you go. So if you're having a lot of movement on there and you don't have, an elite quarterback that can adjust his game on the fly, it really impacts your performance. And you're seeing that with the Rams. But they're trying to figure it out. But Cooper Kupp's the man. He's balling.
He is the man. And I think he gets them the win. At Heinz Field, always a tough place to go in the Steelers.
That's going to be tough, but I think they could pull it out, but that's going to be tough, man.
Are you picking? Are you going Steelers?
No, I'm going Rams.
You got Rams.
I'm going Rams. Steelers are their identity is on defense, but they're stepping up, but they're outmatched, I think, in this game.
But a tight game.
Oh, it's going to be tight because it's in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going Rams too on the road. Yeah. Dolphins heading to Indianapolis. Brissett could be back. It was his MCL that he sprained that knocked him out of the game.
Yep.
So he's been limited in practice. So is T.Y. as well.
Yeah.
So that is
T.Y.'s always banged up, isn't he?
Isn't he just?
Fast guys. The fast guys.
The Colts, watch this space in terms of who starts at quarterback, but as well as other notable injuries. Malik Hooker as well, their safety, is injured. So they are obviously heavy favorites, double digit favorites for this one. It's at home. They are looking at the playoffs. The Dolphins are looking at a number one draft pick, but they're buoyed off the back of their first win of the season. And despite the fact they've sold seemingly half their roster during the start of the season, they've got some offensive playmakers that can sucker punch, don't
they? Yeah, there's something when you think you can win and you start to feel it. But, you know, I don't think they're going to win this game. Listen, they're going to be off such a high from that win.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it can sustain them through. But
they've got spirit, haven't they, Jake?
They do.
They're not a talented bunch, but
I like the head coach. Man.
That tells you a lot about how good he is, right?
Yeah.
That they're playing. They're still playing for him.
He doesn't have pressure on him, right? They knew the ownership understands that he's not going to win this year.
Mm.
They're like, hey, Flores, come in here and build us a squad.
Mm.
And that takes time because culture doesn't happen overnight. I wish it did. I mean, how many corporations try to shift their corporate culture? It takes time.
Just click your fingers. It doesn't
work. Exactly. We're talking week to week to week. I mean, it takes time. So I like the direction they're going. But, you know, I also like the head coach on the other side, Frank Wright. Man, he is amazing. And that team is really good. Jacoby Brissett. He is one of the best quarterbacks in football. And now you realize when they paid him immediately.
Yeah.
Remember, man, teams will tell you what they think, Nat. They paid that dude so quick when they realized he was going to be their starter.
Yeah,
it wasn't, let's see what we're doing.
We'll tag him up.
Money.
Yeah.
They told you what they thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to remember where he came from as well, which, a thing or two about decent.
I mean, he was in the lab, man. You know, he's back there chopping it up with Brady. You know, who knows what kind of group chat they got? You know,
what WhatsApp chat?
Yeah, they probably got some ridiculous group chat on like, hey, this is what's happening week to week, looking out for each other.
I love
it.
Who else is in that group? So I could use Matt Castle has left the group.
Oh, Matt's been out the group, man. Matt's sending pictures of his kids, man. They don't, man. Matt's not in there.
Brady kicked Castle out.
Yeah,
is Garoppolo, Garoppolo as well.
Garoppolo's in there for sure.
He's in there. Okay,
he's in there.
Is Brady the admin of the group?
Brady, no, some mysterious character is the admin.
Okay.
But Brady runs the conversation.
Okay.
No, you know, Brady. Nobody responds until after Brady responds. It's like they throw out a question and then no Brady. It's just crickets.
Just
everybody waits a week.
Crickets.
Yeah, so it's still the man.
I love it, man. Yeah. Okay, so who are we picking? I mean, what was it?
What game are we talking about?
It took me a while. That's why I asked you. We're picking Dolphins Colts.
Man.
Frame it another way. Dolphins, I think, are 11.5 point underdogs. Can they keep it closer than that?
They could. They're at home. And if Jacoby's not playing, they can keep it close.
Okay. Lions, Bears. Let's go there next. The Bears. Oh, boy.
There's a lot to talk about.
And Matt Stafford, we were talking MVP earlier.
He's balling.
Talk about situation, right? If he was having this kind of identical season in a contending team,
man,
he'd be in the conversation surely.
I'm in shock because, you know, this defense was supposed to be better. This is why you brought Patricia over.
Yeah.
To fix that defense. And they are 31st. They're 31st. Matt Stafford is the man. They're third in passing. He's throwing the ball all over the place. This is a guy who this offseason was having some serious health issues with his wife.
Mm.
I thought, you know, serious issues. I was almost concerned, like, man, you know, where's his head going to be?
He's going to walk away from the game.
I don't even understand it.
Yeah.
Look at this dude.
Yeah.
Look at what he's
unbelievable.
Doing.
Unbelievable. And I think throughout much of his career, and maybe it's because he's been at Detroit, that he's been underrated.
Yes.
And you got to think, if Matt Stafford was playing, and we always think this with quarterbacks, and it can work both ways. If Dak Prescott had landed somewhere else, would we even be talking about him on this show
right now?
You know, maybe not. But if Matt Stafford had ended up, I don't know, in Atlanta or, you know, in a – you know, in a contending team of the last five in LA.
Oh
my God, Matt Stafford might be again. We might be talking about him in 5 years, Jay Bell, like we have been about Rivers, saying is he the best quarterback of his generation, never to get to a Super Bowl.
Some things you can't control.
Yeah,
it's tough.
And their season they're not done and dusted yet. The Lions get a win here. They're back over 500 again. I think the Bears, we've talked about them so much on the show this season. Yeah, Trubisky. Yeah, the defense can only do so much.
Yeah.
But the Bears are done.
And everybody that's thinking why are they not benching Trubisky is because they have to figure out if they got to move on.
Right.
And you don't figure that out with him on the bench.
Right.
You got to play him and put him in every scenario you possibly can and then make a decision.
They got so much invested in him as well.
You got to see it through.
When they do that, it's like the Jags with Bortles as well. When they re-upped him, it's like we now can't walk away from him.
And the Jags are still paying for it.
They
should have moved on. But they couldn't because the team was so good. They thought, let's just ride this out.
They were so close, weren't they? I mean, there were a couple of plays in the Super Bowl.
That was the worst thing that happened to them. Yep. The worst and best thing that happened to them.
Yeah. Okay, so Detroit for the road win. I find this one hard to call. Lions, Bears, at Soldier. I'm really on the fence. I'm going to stick my neck out and say the Lions get the win. I'm going to stick with Stafford.
Oh, man, I'm going... Yeah, I'll go with you. It's going to be close, though. Their just defense is so bad. I'm going with the Bears.
You got Bears?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to disagree on a few.
I'm going with the Bears because we had so much conversation about Matt Stafford and that offense that I started believing what I was saying, and then I had to look at the whole team, and then we're going with the Bears.
Okay, fair play. Ravens, Bengals, Baltimore, of course, Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens after that season defining win really for them so far anyway. The biggest win of the season is what I'm trying to say, without kind of getting carried away that they're now going to go on and win the Super Bowl, to do what they did to the best defense in football. Highly impressive. They've got an easier ride of it now against Cincinnati. No AJ Green, of course. Ryan Finley starting as quarterback for the Bengals. It can only be winner here, right?
This is tragic. You got the worst rushing defense versus the best rushing offense.
Right.
The one thing I can hopefully tell you is this. Fans, get there early, get your drinks in, because if they're going to run the ball like I think they are, this game is going to fly by, right? No passes. Run. Clock doesn't stop. Them boys are out of there. This is what? This could be the fastest game of the year.
In history.
I know.
An hour and three quarters. I think what we can safely assume from that is we're both picking Baltimore
to win that
one. Oh, this is an interesting game. Bills-Browns in Cleveland. You are great, I think is what we were talking about with the Browns on this season. And they are victims of their own hype and yada, yada, yada. The Browns have had a horrible time. And now, I guess, what is going on in that locker room right now?
What is going on in that locker room?
2-6. We were going to head to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And now we're 2-6. And what are they playing for? They're not even, you say Detroit, if they get a win, maybe they're back in. The Browns are done. They're done as far as this season, right?
This is a case we're watching of a team that accumulated a lot of talent, but they don't have culture.
Right.
They have a lot of talent. Let's look at this scenario. This is going to be a close game, by the way. It's going to be a close game. But you're going to bring back Kareem Hunt when Nick Chubb might be your best player on offense.
Yeah.
To win. OBJ is your best. But your formula to win.
Productivity right now.
Yeah. Nick Chubb.
Yep.
You can't take him out the game.
Yeah.
Like,
what is going on there? Because earlier in the season, they weren't going to him at all, or nearly as much as they should be. Is there something else going on here, do you think?
Too many fancy cars in the garage.
Mm.
And you want to drive them all because they're cute and they're fast. But you know that SUV you got that can go through the mountains and all the stuff and stays dirty? That's the one that gets you from A to B the best, right?
Love it.
I mean, that's the minivan.
Love it.
And they want to drive the fast cars. And once again, you have to have culture in place with all of these personalities. They are lacking that. That top-down culture is not, it's non-existent there.
I'm trying to picture what kind of car Baker Mayfield is. Does he have neon underneath?
Oh, you know what he is? He's a reliable car, right? You got a little more. You got a raise, yeah. So you start putting cool stickers on there. You hook up the wheels, and you actually change the back of it. Like, you got one class of a car, but you kind of convert it to something else, so people think you got something. But inside the engine is what it is. But it's just done up a lot. You know,
that's great.
That's how he's rolling.
He's got the personalized number plate.
He just needs to go back to being himself. Go back to the guy from college that didn't have a scholarship. You know, he's just right now. He's like, man, I got this conversion Porsche right now. It's really a Hyundai, but nobody knows.
Nobody
knows.
Baker one number
Can I
plate.
Say that? Did I just do the wrong thing on this podcast?
You just did it. You just went there. I love it.
Sorry.
Our listeners will like that as well. The Browns fans. Actually, probably the Browns fans will be supporting that as well.
Yeah.
Close game.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight game, though.
Yeah. I think the Browns might sneaky win it.
They could win this, man. They could win this. This is a very good matchup. Their defense actually can play well against this offense. It will be about their offense, the Browns, trying to establish some sort of rhythm versus this defense.
Yeah.
This defense, look, Sean McDermott's going to give Baker Mayfield fits. I mean, if you watch the Bills, a little nugget is they always find a way to exploit the other team's pass blocking principles. Mm. Like, he finds a way, like, this is how they pass block versus this, so this is what we're going to do. This is our counter. And he's really good with that game. It's really cool to watch.
Yeah, that is really interesting to see. And given, I think it's going to come down to that, because the Bills are averaging under 20 points this season, which, considering they've got a 6-2 record, is it's quite clearly how they're winning their game. So
defense.
If the Browns can get something going there, they might create an unassailable lead. I like that. I think they will. I think the Browns will get the win.
I'm going with the Bills, but I'm riding with you. I'm not very confident. It's going to be a good game. I'm going to watch that one.
What about the New York Derby? The Giants at the Jets, obviously at MetLife, but it'll be decked out in green. Horrendous seasons for both teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Saquon having a big game here. And I think that might be the difference. Lev Bell, incidentally, for the Jets, one of those players.
Right?
Yeah, he's hurt, so may or may not stop. But he just hasn't been at the races.
They don't use him right either. I'm shocked in that.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed with that.
I mean, and I don't know how much of the quarterback carousel they've had in Forster, of course, where they've had obviously three different starters. Donald's been horrendous since he's been back. He's had nine picks in the four games since he's been back. I was looking at some crazy stat that out of all quarterbacks in the league right now, he is ranking 33rd on completion percentage since he's been back. So there are 32 teams in the NFL, Jay Bell. So his accuracy is gone, his shot, he's coughing the ball up. He's all over the show.
He was this player at the end of his college career. We forget that he had a lot of turnover worthy throws, they call them, and I think he turned the ball the most. He had the most turnovers,
really.
And everybody's like, yeah, but look at the upside.
Yeah.
You always default to your lowest skill set.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like it's what happens in this game.
Yeah.
And that's why technique is so important. So this is why Adam Gase is there. He's supposed to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Put him in positions that he doesn't do that. And I think this falls on coaching as much as it is on him. That offense as a whole.
He needs to have enough weapons around him.
I don't like what they're doing. I don't like the offense. I mean, blame it on the O-line. Yeah, they got problems, but there's just no creativity, and that's what your head coach is there for.
Conversely, what about Daniel Jones? He's had a pretty erratic rookie season, even by rookie court, you know,
playing like
standards.
A rookie.
Yeah.
Playing like a rookie. On the flip side, you look at Minshew Mania, and he's made some mistakes, but he's played better as a rookie.
Yeah, looks
you know,
more
he's
like
played
he belongs.
Better as a rookie. So Daniel Jones is having his ups and downs. And
is the jury out? Yeah, out on Jones?
Nah, not yet. I mean, I need him to have an off season. You know, get an off season. I just like his demeanor, and that's important in New York more than anything. You look at Baker Mayfield's antics, and you look at this kid, it's like, you know, from a longevity standpoint, you're like, you know, you gotta focus on what's important and not all the other stuff. He does that.
You presume me a pick in the Giants.
Of course.
Contractual.
You think I want to go back? They might not let me back in the building. They're my peoples. Never go for the Jets.
I'm picking New York just because you're here today.
Thank you. That makes me
I can't
very
wait to
happy.
Watch that game though. That's probably not going to be on my bucket.
They're going to play each other tight, man. They're going to battle. And Leonard Williams is now over at the Giants. He's going to want to stop everything they're doing at the Jets.
Let's rattle through the last couple, Jay Bell. Cardinals, Bucks. Quick. Who's your pick?
Cardinals, Bucks. Ooh.
I see points.
Ooh.
I see a lot of points.
Let me think. I think Tampa Bay can do this.
I'm going the other way. I think Arizona got
it. I think Tampa Bay can do this, man. They're not really a bad team, man. You know, I mean, they're,
yeah.
And I like how I like Bruce Arians and what he's doing, but that's going to be a tight one. I'm stepping on the line.
They got like, they're the kind of the sucker punch I mentioned with the Dolphins. They are the prototype of that, aren't they? Can just come out swinging Tampa Bay.
And it's going to be hard for Arizona to go to Tampa Bay. It's loud.
Monday Night Football, one of the games of the weekend as well. Let's end on that one. Seahawks at 49ers. Maybe is the game of the weekend. Certainly the
top two. Save the best for last.
Yes. Really, where are we going with this? Firstly, I mean this in the context that it's meant, that I'm not saying I think they're obviously a bad team, but are we buying the 49ers still? 8-0.
Yep.
Are we sure they're that good?
Yes.
We are sure.
Yeah, we are.
What's the case to support that they are one of the best teams in football?
First of all, you are what your record is, right? Well, at this point in the league, too. I mean, I don't care who you played against. You are what your record is. And they are playing to their strengths. Mm. And that's what I like. The way that defensive line is playing, that's where you've invested. That is, you know, your stalwart. And everything else is playing well off that. The DBs are playing well. Linebackers are playing well. Quan Alexander injury, we'll get into that.
Yep.
That scares me. Mm-hmm. But they are just – that is where they are dominating. They're getting after the passer because they're scoring enough points on offense. They're forcing you to try to come back and try to be competitive. And they are built to pin their ears back and go get you.
But that plays to Seattle's strengths, right? Because that's exactly the team we're talking about.
Exactly. And then they are, you know, when Shanahan's over there, it's all about the dynamic running game, right? That's what his thing is. I mean, and they're great at it.
Yep.
They're great at running the ball. Number two in football. Yep. And you say that. So once again, you are what you are supposed to be. Your strengths are what you're winning with. And if that is true, it's not by luck.
Okay, George Kittle, incidentally, is he tight ends rarely win the MVP.
Yeah.
But George Kittle's not going to win the MVP. But George Kittle, is he one of the – can we call him underrated? I mean, he's getting a lot of attention in some respects. He is a significantly important player, isn't he?
He's the man. And it's not only because he's so great as a receiver, but watch him pass block. Mm. I mean, watch him run block.
Run block, yeah.
I mean, this is the thing about Gronk that was so underrated. And you see the implications of him not being in New England. His run blocking ability. So George Kittle and what he does for that offense, he is the cornerstone as far as how they approach that play action pass. And it's because of his ability to block. Because if he was not a good blocker and he was just a good receiver, the way they would have to maybe take him out and put a guy in, too many keys. Too many ways for the defense to know what you're doing.
Right.
But because this guy is a stalwart, everything's looking the same. That's why they are so effective. It's so blurry for the defense.
Loving that analysis. So you've got a balanced 49ers. The Seahawks less so. Defensively, they are suspect. Right. Offensively, the number two ranked offense in the NFL going, as you say, against the number one ranked defense in the NFL. And as you say, the 49ers invite you to come at them. And you've got one of the best improvisational quarterbacks in the league, maybe in the game is ever seen. So that is going to be fascinating. If they throw their A game, can Russell Wilson still find a way to beat them?
See, that's why he's the MVP, right? He's carrying a defense that is not great. Mm. And the thing about it is, if anything we're watching is, we know what Russell Wilson does. Let's see if this D-line can play discipline enough to keep him bottled in.
Right.
You're going to have to do that. Now, their defensive backs are playing well. Richard Sherman is going to be able to prepare them and say what to look for. This is what happens off of Russell Wilson's movement.
Sure.
Saw it every day. This is how the receivers think about it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times this doesn't matter, but a guy like Richard Sherman remembers this stuff.
Sure.
Right? You know, you can have a guy that's like, you played there. What happened? Coach asked you two questions. What happened when you played there? Just forget it, J-Bell. Forget it. We got it. We got it. Don't listen to anything.
Sherman's McVay-like encyclopedia of every
guy. Yes, he's got it down. He's telling them guys what to do. So there's an advantage there. I want to see if they stay discipline in their rush lanes. Because if you're not, and he's able to move around, that's when the creativity happens. Mm. That's going to be the game I'm watching.
It is so hard to call this one. And I want to be clear. I wasn't loading the dice by saying, or loading the conversation by saying, do we really buy the 49ers? Mm. I wanted to understand. I wanted to get that analysis, that brilliant analysis you gave us on that, on the 49ers. So I'm not saying I'm not buying into them. I just wanted the perspective. Nevertheless, I think Seattle goes into the 49ers, into San Francisco, and gets the win. I think they get the road win. I'm buying Russell Wilson in this situation.
They play well on defense, and somehow they can stop the run. The one thing they do is they get off the field on third down pretty decent. Mm. So if they can do that on defense and get off the field and run the ball, I mean, stop the run, man, Russell Wilson, if it's close, that's you what, don't want it to yeah. be too close.
Yes. That is, if it's close, Wilson will be, right?
You do not want it to be close. You need two scores going in the fourth quarter. Yeah. You need two scores.
Who you going with?
I'm going with San Fran. Mm. But everybody is going to be watching this.
Yeah. I cannot wait.
I love that we get like one game a week where it's like, yo, here you go.
Here you go. And it could be the NFC Championship game, of course. We might end up be seeing a dress rehearsal of it.
Man, it really could. And the one thing you'll see is if weaknesses exposed. Mm. So that's the telltale. Let's see if Russell Wilson can expose something. San Fran's defense.
We did save the best till last, Jay Bell.
Yes, we did.
Cracking work, my friend. It is
fun in here.
It's always a pleasure seeing you, man.
Yeah,
always
I mean, you know, some people get the best out of people, man.
Loving your work, Jay Bell. You are back, before I put you on the spot here, are you back in 2 weeks?
Next.
See you in 2 weeks. Okay. Yeah. Right. So we're going to give you a week off.
Yeah.
And you're back the following week.
It's because I got to go and figure all this out before I come back in here.
You got a bye week.
Yeah.
You're like Belichick, the NFL broadcasting equivalent of Belichick. Off a bye week, unstoppable.
I need vet days off. I need to rest. It's like I can give you a couple good plays, and I gotta go to the bench, man. I gotta go to the bench, rest and stretch.
I need a few of those as well. Great to see you, man.
All right, my friend.
Cracking stuff from Jay Bell. He's back in 2 weeks' time, which by my reckoning, my math makes that a week 12 preview. So looking forward to catching up with him then. We've got our daily fantasy show dropping tomorrow. Me and the OG getting his set for Sunday's fantasy. Don't forget our competition, our listener competition, £1,000 prize pool up for grabs. Free to enter. Just go to fantasy.paddypower.com/league/NatCoombs show. We'll push it out on our social channels as well. So you can just click the link and be taken straight to the league to register and get involved. Best of luck. Back tomorrow with the fantasy show. Back on Monday with all the action reviewed. Look forward to it. See you then. Bye for now.